End our study this evening, verse number 129, Psalm 119, 129. One verse. I'm just kind of last week give you some overview, and this is a big text. It's a lot of truth in this psalm, and tonight I just kind of want to maybe hit it something again, kind of a broad view, look throughout this psalm, different things, different ways we can look at this psalm tonight. Maybe a little more specific tonight than last week. And so bear with us tonight and maybe even the next few weeks. I promise we're going to work our way through it verse by verse. And that's going to be quite a big undertaking. All right? Look with me in verse number 129. The Bible said, "Thy testimonies are wonderful." I like that. "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them." Tonight, Psalm 119, as we have studied it, we understand that David is the author of this psalm. And Psalm 119 being the longest psalm, the longest chapter or portion, as we have it broke down in our King James Bibles, it's the longest there is in the Word of God, 176 verses. And Psalm 119 is David's song of praise to God simply for God's word. And last week we drew our attention and began just with the thoughts of Psalm 138 verse 2, where the Bible said the Lord had magnified his word above all his name. And so God has magnified his word. And then when we come to Psalm 119, this is the heart of a saint of God magnifying the word of God himself. And so as God has magnified it, so David desires to magnify it and to have it magnified in and through his life. Last week, having studied the no less than nine names given to the scriptures, I won't even go back over that, but if you wasn't here, we'll be glad to share that with you at the end of the service. But David uses no less than nine titles, nine names that are given to what we would call tonight the scriptures or the Bible. Tonight, what I want us to consider, and we'll settle in on one, is throughout Psalm 119, David, there are some adjectives, we would use that word, and those are just David's descriptions of God's word. This goes beyond names. These are not just names, but they are descriptive words or terms that are used for the word of God that are added to the names for the Bible that are used in Psalm 119. And so let me work my way through this list and we'll get to 129. That's the one I want to focus on. I'll show you why in just a moment. I think the one that stands out the most throughout this psalm is David references the law, thy word, thy words, thy testimonies, thy precepts, thy judgments, especially as being described as being righteous. In verse number 7, the Bible said, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." Again, in verse number 62, the Bible said, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee." That'd be a good thing to do when you can't sleep, amen, "because of thy righteous judgments." Again, it's used in Psalm 119, 105, "thy word," not 105, amen. Let me see here, 138 is the verse I'm looking for, where he said, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous." Again, I believe it's verse 164, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." And so David describes the word of God as being righteous. And I won't elaborate on that. In verse number 75, he uses the adjective or the description that the word of God is right. He said, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right," and they are right. And then he'll use again in this same vein of thinking, verse number 172, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." And so righteous, right, and righteousness are the way. When David considers the word of God, David said, I am convinced that if I can put any description about what God's word is, it is righteous, right, and God's righteousness. He'll call it simply in verse number 39 and describe it as being good. In verse number 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. And ain't the Bible good tonight? I'm thankful when we think about God's word, we can just call it good this evening. Verse 137, he'll call it upright. In verse number 140, he calls it very pure. In verse number 151, let me read this one to you. Verse number 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. And so he just simply says, when I think of the word of God, it is to just simply be described. If you're to describe what God's word is, you can be accurate when you view it, describe it, and tell it, and speak about it being truth. And that is something found throughout all the word of God. I like verse 86 and 138, and we'll look at these in the end of the message tonight again. But notice what he says here, verse number 86. The Bible said, all thy commandments are faithful. Notice that descriptive term, that they are faithful. Again, in verse number 138, we looked at it a moment ago. He uses not only that the word of God is righteous, but he said, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous. And not just faithful, but he said very faithful. And tonight when we think about God's word, we can say tonight that it is a faithful book and full of faithful promises and faithful precepts. And what a blessing tonight it is to count God's word to be faithful. And a lot we could say about it being righteous, right, righteousness, good, upright, very pure, truth, and faithful. The one I want to settle in on tonight is found in the verse that we read, verse number 29, where David said, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. And David here describes the word of God as simply being wonderful. Notice with me, if you will, considering that, he makes a plea and a prayer found in verse number 18 of this psalm tonight. Here's his prayer, open thou mine eyes. Lord, I need you to give me light in my eyes. Open thou mine eyes. Why would David pray, or what would be the point of his eyes being open? He said that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so you have the same kind of idea here in mind and connected with verse number 129. Is that the word of God is wonderful and contains wondrous things. Tonight, when we give consideration to this verse found in 129, all the descriptions, all the names, all the things that we're going to study over months of study, no doubt in this particular psalm, I believe tonight Psalm 129 could easily be considered the theme of David's praise for God's word. The fact that he counts God's word to be wonderful, I think really is the center point of everything he's going to say, everything he's going to pray, everything he desires God's word to do in his life is connected with God's word being wonderful. Now, you say, preacher, why would you say that? Consider the meaning of the word wonderful. Here you'll find, as you study it, the first definition you'll find for wonderful just simply means something extraordinary. Something extraordinary. Can we not say tonight that God's word is something that is extraordinary? Amen. It stands out. In fact, we told you on last week, the very thing we call God's word, even in our hour, we call it the Bible. And the name that we use for this book, the Bible, is Latin simply for the book. Amen. It is the book of books. It is more extraordinary than anything that has ever been run through a printing machine, anything that has ever been compiled. anything that has had pages put between covers. Tonight, the Bible is the most extraordinary of them all. The word wonderful means a miracle and a marvel. And it reminds us in this very word wonderful being a miraculous and marvelous book, the word wonderful reminds us that God's word is a supernatural book. This is not a human book. This is not a temporal book. This is a supernatural book tonight. When we think about God's word tonight, I don't know that we could put a greater descriptive word to it than that of being wonderful. Tonight, when you hold the word of God in your hand, you hold something miraculous and you hold something marvelous. You hold something that only God could put together. Man could not, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but man could not be the author of this book. Man could not have compiled this book. Man could not in his wildest imagination ever provided such an extraordinary, supernatural, marvelous, miraculous book to mankind tonight. I don't know how many books have ever been written, but I know this tonight. The Bible, my friend, stands out above everything that's ever been penned, everything ever been printed, everything that's ever been produced, everything, every book that's ever been promoted. There is no more wonderful book in all the Bible, in all the world, than the Bible. And so tonight, I think the fact that it's wonderful, David is magnifying throughout all the psalm that truth. Amen. And we'll call it tonight the wonder of the word. If I could just talk to you a minute about it. Amen. And I need y'all to pay attention. Amen. It's hard to preach in here tonight. So if you'll look at me, that would be a blessing. All right. And act interested tonight. The wonder of the word. The wonder of the word. Can I tell you tonight, it is a wonder. The fact that we have the Bible tonight is a wonder. One man put it this way. He said of the Bible, he said it is supernatural in its origin, divine in its authorship, human in its penmanship, infallible in its authority, infinite in its scope, universal in its interest, regenerative in its power, inspired in its totality, unsurpassed in its beauty, unequal in its simplicity, and immortal in its hope. Now, I believe you take all that and put it together. Whoever wrote that and whoever communicated that, what they're saying is the Word of God is wonderful. Amen. There's nothing else like it tonight in all the world. You ain't going to possess any other book that is going to even come close unto having the wonder behind it, the miracle behind it, and the marvel behind it, the extraordinariness of it, than the Word of God tonight. And so when I consider Psalm 119, and I wrap it all around verse number 129, and it is wonderful, thy precepts, thy judgments, thy law, thy word, thy testimonies, these terms tonight of the Word of God, that we would count them to be wonderful. The wonder of the word. Tonight, let me say three things and I'll deal with it. It's amazing I pulled all of these out of Psalm 119. And I want to give to you tonight for your consideration. Number one, consider as we think about the wonder of the word, the wonder of its conformation. And conformation just simply means the manner in which it was formed. Look with me in verse number 152. The Bible said, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. And so David talks about this thing of the law, the Torah, the judgments, these matters of the Holy Scriptures. And here's what he said. He said, I am convinced, I have known, I have come to a conviction of this matter, and it is God that has founded his word. It is God that has put this thing together. It is God that formed it. It is God that has given it. It is God that has sent it. And tonight, when we think about the Bible and its conformation, what a wonder tonight. And we think about all the miracles that we can think about that God has done. And the wonders, the marvels that God has done. I think about creation. A fact tonight that the worlds were made by our God. What a wonder it is to ponder that. We think about the miracles He's did in the Old and the New Testament. And the miracles that He does to this very hour. Can I tell you, can I make a statement tonight? I don't believe there's any greater miracle that God has done than, my friend, giving you and I His Word. That is a miracle tonight. You see, the Bible, it's not just a good book, and David did say it was good. And may I say tonight, it's not even just a great book, though I believe tonight it's not only great, it's the greatest it's ever been. But it's not just good and it's not just great. Consider the fact tonight that the Bible, it is God's book. Amen. It's what God has founded. It's what God has given to men. And we think about that tonight. What a wonder we find in its conformation. You see, Psalm 119 tonight, it shows you and I that the Word of God was declared from God's mouth. And that when we think about the Bible tonight, when we think about the Scripture, this is not the invention of religion. This goes beyond the imaginations of a religious nut job. This goes beyond the opinions of a preacher tonight. And when we think about the Word of God, it is something that has been declared from God's mouth. Look with me in verse number 13. In verse number 13, the Bible said, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Do you see the end of that verse? Of thy mouth. David said that where all this originated from is that God spoke it from His mouth. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, amen, the Word of God is a wonder in the way that it has been conformed to you and I and its formation tonight. In verse 72, he hits upon this again. He said, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." David is pondering the law of God, God's Word, the Bible. David said, "I'll tell you why I called it wonderful, why it's wonderful to me. It is miraculous in its confirmation, the fact that this came directly from the mouth of God." It's amazing when you study the Bible how many times the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord," appears in the Word of God, reminding you and I that this ain't the words of Abraham. This is not the words of a mere mortal man, Moses. That this came from glory, from the God that is, amen, tonight speaking and communicating His Word. We think about what was communicated in the New Testament. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally breathed, literally coming from the source of God Himself, the breath of God. Is, my friend, a miraculous thing that God has spoken to mankind. And He spoke in days gone by. Sometimes, Hebrews said, sometimes He spake through angels, other times through prophets. And all of that is a culmination of the Word of God compiled to you and I. But it was God speaking. And God giving a message, it may have come through an angel, it may have came through a prophet, it may have come through oracles having gone by, but all of it originated from the mouth of God Himself. Now, is that important tonight? Is that important? Is it important that we understand the wonder of the confirmation of the Word of God? Its origin, the manner of its formation, that it is originated from God Himself. Absolutely it is. For in this we trust tonight, And in this we believe tonight. And may I say, even beyond that, in this we are assured of tonight, that having come from God, the Word of God is absolutely perfect. David would deal with this throughout Psalm 119. Particularly, look with me in verse number 96. Verse number 96, he said, I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. I can't wait to get to that in our verse-by-verse study, and we'll really dive into it. Can I tell you in a nutshell what David is saying, Brother Riley? He's saying, I've seen the end of my own perfection. Amen. I can only go so far, and then my weakness creeps in. I've seen the wisest of the wise in all their wisdom. There is an end to their wisdom. I have seen the mightiest of the mighty, but yet there is an end to their might. There's only so far that they can go. And David said, I can look around this world and I can gaze upon things that seem so wondrous and so perfect and so beautiful in my sight. But Lord, I've found there's an end to all of that. But thy commandment is very broad. Can I tell you what David said? David said there is no end to the perfection of the Word of God. And because God has communicated, God has founded it, God has spoken it, God is the one that has given it. He said, I just believe that though my perfection runs out and the perfection of other men runs out and the perfection of our own wisdom and mind and knowledge and understanding has limitations to it, yet the Word of God remains perfect. And when men have faltered and failed and fallen short, the Word of God, amen, because it's come from the mouth of God, amen, the Word of God is believed tonight to be perfect. Amen. I'm glad tonight we have something perfect in an unperfect world. Amen. In Psalm 140, 119, verse number 140, here's what he said. We alluded to this a moment ago. But we tap back into it. He said, thy word is very pure. That just simply means, Brother Tim, that it has no fault. There are no imperfections. There are no shortcomings. It's not corrupt in any way. It has not been tainted by the hands of mortal men in any way. The curse has not been upon the Word. It may be in creation. It may be upon our bodies. It may be upon our sin nature. And the curse, my friend, may make everything that is grown. But tonight there is something that is very pure in the world tonight. It won't be found in you and it won't be found in me, but it's found in us. Amen. The Word of God, David said, I'm talking about the Word of God is wonderful because of the wonder of its confirmation. And God has declared it from His own mouth. And therefore it is perfect to you and I. And if it's perfect, it can be trusted. And if it's perfect, it ought to be lived. And if it's perfect, it ought to be believed. And if it's perfect, it ought to be honored. And if it's perfect, it ought to be loved. And you'll find all of that is communicated in Psalm 119. You understand tonight that it is a wonderful thing. It is a miraculous thing tonight that we can hold something that has been declared from God's very mouth. In Psalm 119, I found this interesting. You may think that I'm making a stretch of this, but I don't believe that I am. That the wonder of its confirmation is seen and then it was declared from God's mouth. We think about having received God's word. We think tonight about the manner in which God has formed it and founded it and then freely given it to you and I tonight. It's wonderful in that it was directed to God's men. It came to us from God's mouth. But He communicated that to men who were directed to write it down. You say, preacher, that's not alluded to in Psalm 119. Well, amen, look with me, if you will, in verse number 152. We've already looked at this, but he said, concerning thy testimonies. Now remember now, David lives after some of these writings that have already been written down. And so he said, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. I have known of old, David is saying, I know it came from the mouth of God, but I know from the mouth of God it was delivered and directed to God's men. Amen. And he had an understanding. Moses was used of God to write it down and deliver it to mankind. That there were other men. There were men like Joshua who had penned down the word of God and delivered it to men, directed to God's men. Look with me in this verse. Here's a verse, Brother Mike. And Brother Mike, he's a student of this subject. I've never seen this. I've never seen anybody deal with this verse. But look with me in verse number, I think it's 38. Listen to what David said. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. And I understand that that likely in the direct context, David is talking about his own life. Then he has a desire for the word of God to be firm in his life. But don't forget, David is writing this even under inspiration, the Holy Ghost. And God, through God's own mouth, is dictating and directing to David what he's to write down. And David is saying, God, if I've got to write this down, if this is what God has said, I need you to establish it in my heart first, so that I know what to write down and pin down and deliver to my generation and the generations that are to follow. And tonight, can I say how we have received the word of God and that it came directly declared from the mouth of God. And yet my friend is personally directed to God's men. That this is a wonder tonight of the word of God. You see, we're not talking about two or three men getting together in a classroom somewhere and comparing notes and what did God tell you? Well, this is what God told me, and let's compare our notes and make sure we're on the same page. Oh no, friend, listen, 66 books make up our King James Bible tonight. Over 40 men over a 1600 year period and span of time, amen, were spoken to by God's mouth, directed by God as God's men, amen, on what they were to say. Now, I'm telling you, you get four or five men in a room and have them try to compare notes and try to compile something, my friend, would be a great, great undertaking. Much less you bring them and their experiences to the table and let them begin to write about it somewhere. There's going to be a discrepancy. Somewhere there's going to be a conflict. Somewhere there's going to be, amen, something that sets them at odds in their what they're bringing to the table. And yet God spake to over 40 men, 40 holy men, Peter called them, amen, who were spoken to by the Holy Ghost, amen, and wrote down what God had told them over 1600 years. Some of them wrote from a prison. Some of them wrote from a palace. Some of them wrote from a pit. Some of them wrote from great pressure. Amen. And yet, amen, God can get his word and declare the word of his mouth to those men of God, and they can write it down, having never met each other, through many different seasons and dispensations and many different backgrounds and many different experiences. And what a wonder of the word tonight. And God, in doing that, has absolutely delivered a perfect Bible to you and I tonight.
Amen. That's a wonder tonight. Somebody said, well, I don't know about the King James Bible. You listen up here, friend. Amen. I'm getting into the next point. Amen. But I'm talking about the King James Bible being the Word of God. There is no fault. There is no failure. There is no, amen, there is no corruption. There is no, conflict tonight. There's nothing that opposes each other. Amen. Only God could put this thing together. I'm talking about it wasn't just Moses and Abraham and Joshua and Paul and Isaiah and Jeremiah and the other prophets. Hey, it wasn't Peter and John the Beloved coming together in a room. Oh no, it was God directing them. And the wonder of the word is found in the manner of its formation. Only God could do such a thing. That's why I say it's probably the greatest miracle God's ever done. Amen. A 1600 year miracle. A miracle 1600 years in the making. And you hold it in your hand tonight. Do you understand that tonight? Amen. You say, oh, it's just the Bible. And we leave it lay around it. And we never meditate on it. We never think on it. We never read it. We never study it. We never get excited about it. Amen. What I'm holding up tonight is a 1600 year miracle that God has given to man. And it is part of the wonder of the word that made David want to praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of y'all get more excited over a podcast or whatever, amen, than hearing this tonight. I'm talking about the wonder of its confirmation. David said, I know of old that thou hast founded thy word. Amen. Notice the wonder quickly of its conservation. The wonder of its conservation. Again, I think this is seen in verse number 152, that not only is David dealing with the inspiration of the Word of God, but also the preservation. He said, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Forever. That's a long time. Amen. This phrase forever appears throughout Psalm 119 several times. Look with me in verse number 89. I love this verse. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. Forever. Notice that forever. Again, let's look at one more, verse number 160. The Bible said, thy word is true from the beginning. Amen, the beginning of time. He said, it's true. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Amen. David is saying, not only has this come from God, that this has been formed by God himself. And what a wonder it is that we have something that is greater than and the imagination of a religious nut job like Joseph Smith. We have something that goes greater than the teachings of Krishna. That my friend had all sorts of what is viewed now as New Age thinking and philosophy and things that are nothing more than the mental ascent of the attempts of mental ascent by mankind. We have something from God. But David said, if it come from God, it is perfect. And if it's come from God, it'll last forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. May I say tonight, the wonder of the word, amen, is found in its conservation. Hey, several words connected to Psalm 119. I've read some of them here as we made our way through tonight, but let me point out some words that are found here. Again, back in verse number 89, David said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, it ain't settled in a lot of places on earth. There's a lot of people fussing about it, debating about it. Amen. And they say, well, we need some new versions, some new attempts at translating the Word of God, because we can't understand, amen, the hundreds that have already been translated. And they'll say, well, we need one more. And that's funny. They told us the last one they came out with was, they finally got it right. You know what they're saying? It ain't settled. And they're fussing about it and they're fighting about it. But David said, thy word, it is wonderful. Your testimonies are wonderful. There's wonder. There's the wonder of the word for which God is to be praised at. And part of that miracle and part of the marvel and part of what makes the Bible so extraordinary is that, listen, God is the one that settled it. Amen. Listen, there's no doubt about it in heaven. There's no doubt about it in God's mind. Amen. I'll be honest with you, there's no doubt about it in my mind tonight. Amen. They come out in the slogan, the bumper sticker. Amen. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. What a stupid statement. Amen. God said it, period. It's settled. God ain't looking for your, amen, your vote to be cast. He don't care what your opinion is about it. He didn't, my friend, say something and then leave room for you to put your approval on it. David just simply said, I'm praising God. I'm caught up and excited about praising God because of the wonder of his word. And God has settled it in heaven. The word settled just simply means to be composed, determined, established, and or placed. Amen. David said, God's word is forever settled in heaven. Here's what Harold Sattler said. Amen. If you don't like it, you won't. Amen. You'll have to, if you're saved, you'll have to fight him over it in heaven. He's already gone. You can't run him down. But here's what Brother Mike Harold Sattler said. He said, I believe when I get to heaven, I'll be able to throw my King James Bible under my arm, walk down the street of gold, and never have to apologize for it. You know why he said that? Because he knew that God had promised to conserve and preserve his word unto every generation. His truth is unto every generation. And we seem to be in the days as rival that of the days of Jeremiah, when that culture was running around saying, where is the word of the Lord? Where is the word of the Lord? And they weren't settled on where God's word was. They didn't know whether or not they had God's word. I'm telling you, it's the wonder of wonders tonight of the word of God, that God has settled it in heaven. And what God settled in heaven has been settled in earth. And my friend is delivered and preserved his word to you and I. Amen. Amen. That's something to praise God for. It is settled tonight in its preservation, its conservation. That wonder is that God has settled it. Look with me in verse 144. How we doing? I got to quit. I got 2 minutes. Hang with me. The Bible said, thy righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Amen. It is everlasting. What a word. Amen. The word everlasting. I'm talking about the wonder of its conservation now. Amen. God's word was not just for a time, but forever. Amen. Forever to every generation and to every nation. It is to be something that David said is everlasting. You know what the word everlasting means? Here's the first definition I found. Y'all ready for this? A very long time. Amen. David said, it ain't just for me, and it wasn't just for Moses. This thing is about a very long time. Amen. The word everlasting, it means of an eternal duration. It means perpetual or perpetually. It means continuing indefinitely. Time beyond this sphere. Amen. When you see the word everlasting in the word of God, There are two words that we maybe use interchangeably, and in some ways they are, but they are two different words that give two different ideas, the word everlasting and the word eternal. Amen? And though they're connected, they are different words with different meanings. Everlasting means from way back yonder there to way yonder out there. Amen. It means without a beginning and without an end. Amen. Something that has always been and will always be. Can I tell you tonight, the Word of God is everlasting. It is going to, listen, it's been around already a very long time. Amen. There have been communists that rose up and they said, we're going to ban it, we're going to burn it, we're going to block it out, it'll never be again. Other men, my friend, other men have said that it was going to be their life's goal and ambition to succeed at doing away with the Word of God. I can't remember the man's name right off, but there was one man who claimed to, who made such a claim, such an attempt, and he lived down his life. After he died, the very death that he made plans to ban and do away with the Word of God, was sold at auction to a Sunday school teacher who sat there studying the Bible, writing Bible literature, and promoting the Word of God. That heretic at one time said he'd ban. But I'm telling you tonight, it's going to take more than communism. It's going to take more than the gates of hell. It's going to take more than a liberal, idolatrous generation. A Word of God has been promised. David said it's the wonder of the Word, and it has been preserved to this time, and it is going to be preserved everlasting. Amen. Then the word used in verse number 160, he said, and every one of thy righteous judgments, here's the word now, endureth forever. The word endureth, you'll note in your King James Bible, is italicized, meaning that the Spirit of the Lord moved the translators, amen, to perfectly fit it in there to communicate the truth God had. Amen. The word endureth. Here's what Webster said about the word endure. Amen. And then you put the TH on the end of it and amen, watch it. It means to last, remain, and abide. It means to continue in the same state without perishing. Amen. To last, endure means to last, remain, and abide. And then when you put the TH, it means it's going to and lasting, it's going to last. And in remaining, it's going to continue to remain. And in abiding, it's going to continue to abide. Amen. In continuing to remain in the same state without perishing, it will continue to remain in the same state without perishing. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I say tonight, it is the wonder of the Word. Amen. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not never pass away. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, that's the wonder of the Word. Amen. When the flower fades and the grass withers, yet the word of the Lord abideth forever. That's the wonder of the Word. And it goes on and on and on and on tonight. And what our forefathers have, we have. Amen. God has been communicating His truth all the way down to where you and I live. Does that not bless you tonight? And it not only came from God, but God still has it, and it will abide. Amen. His word, it'll be here till the trumpet sounds. It'll be here after the trumpet sounds in the tribulation period when this thing gets lit on fire. Amen. The word of God is going to stand. And when we walk in the millennial reign with Christ, Christ. Amen. The Word of God will still be there. And after the great white throne judgment in heaven and earth, as we know it, passes away, and a new heaven and a new earth appear on the sea, amen, we will live in all eternity with the blessed Word of God still enduring and still being around. You have something to your possession tonight, and it's the wonder of wonders tonight called the Word of God. Amen. The wonder of its conservation. No wonder David called it wonderful. The wonder of its conformation, the manner in which God formed it. Number three, on a personal note, it's the wonder of its confirmation. Amen. Throughout Psalm 119, and you find this to be such a big part of this psalm, that David is praising God for God's word being wonderful in the sense that he has come to find it. Now, we already talked about this matter of it being faithful. God's word is faithful. And in Psalm 119, here's what I think you'll find when we study it together, any man or any woman, any child of God that will look to it, live by it, and love it, will find every promise it makes is so, every command it states is right, and every attempt to apply it to our lives is worth it. Look in verse 86. I'm done. Almost. Amen. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. David said, God's word is faithful. Let's say it again in verse number 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. How can you say that if you've not had experiences in your life where it's been tried and proven? You can't say this book is wonderful in its faithfulness till you've had to live it. Till you've had to stake everything you are and everything you do upon the pages of that book and just lay it out and stand on it when everything else is crumbling and all the voices say it'll never work, and you just mark your claim on the Word of God and come out the other side being able to look back and say, God's Word is wonderful because it is a faithful source of truth. Notice how the psalm began. Amen. Blessed, verse 1, are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. I could go on through the psalm and show you where David over and over builds off of the fact that God's word is a wonder, and that as you look to it and you live by it and you fall in love with it, it blesses your life. Stories told of Charles Spurgeon going to see an old sainted woman of God of his congregation. When he got there, he asked her about, or they started conversation about the Bible. She began to tell him about some things that she had been reading, and she gave him her Bible, and he was looking at it. Brother Tim, he said, as he looked through it, he noticed there were a couple different sets of initials of letters by verses, and he noticed some verses had a P beside those verses. He'd look down, and later beside another verse would be the letters T and P. And it intrigued him. He said, What are these markings you put in your Bible? I see a P and then a TP. And what does that mean? She said, Well, every time I read a verse and it speaks to my heart personally and it's precious to me, I write a P by it to indicate God gave me something personal in my time with God. He said, well, that makes sense. What about the T and the P together? She said, well, those are verses where God promised something It was tried in my life and proven to be so. TP stood for tried and proven. Amen. Tried and proven. Can I tell you, I can look back and I may start doing that. I just heard that illustration here in recent days. I may start doing that in my, amen, in one of my Bibles, just TP, tried and proven. But I can look back, Brother Gerald, across my life, and I'm telling you, there's some T's and P's where God's Word is concerned, where it's been tried and proven. And I'm telling you tonight, amen, I've read a lot of different books. I've read how-to books. I've watched videos tell me how to do this and how to do that. And it turned out to be an absolute wreck and disaster, and maybe I read it wrong, or maybe they told me wrong. But I ain't ever tried God's Word without God proving it to be so. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's the wonder of the Word tonight. It is a faithful, faithful book. Lord, we love you. Thank you.